You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle, and you are officially on my couch, as you always are this time of the day. Friday's 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on LA Talk Radio. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. You might want to take your shoes off and relax for this one. In other words, make yourself comfortable on my couch. Because we are talking about everything today. Relationships. Personal issues. How to be more assertive. How to be less stressed. Just generally take care of yourself. And I encourage you to call in if you'd like, as always, at 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. Or you can email me instantly and ask a question. And that email address, of course, docmichelle@AOL.com. DocMichelle with two L's at AOL.com. Well, as you know, folks, I do a lot of relationship therapy. And what I do is I ask you to write to me. So me and my special guest today are going to be answering a lot of emails that you've written in, and I thank you so much, guys. You may have heard her before, my special guest, Sophie Venable. Hi, girl. How are you?
Hello. Thank you for having me. It's so nice to be in the guest seat.
Isn't that different?
You can do all your business, and yeah. I can just sit here and relax.
There you go.
Yes.
As you know, folks, Sophie hosts her own talk show here on LA Talk Radio every Thursday. Her show was on yesterday morning.
We talked about sex.
And they talked about sex.
Yeah.
And other things.
We talked about
sex
after babies, actually.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a big one.
Big.
That's a really important thing to talk about.
You could talk about that for a year, really.
Right.
You could, yeah.
Sophie's show, by the way, is called MILF Talk. Make your life fabulous.
Yes, that's what MYLF stands for.
Yeah. A lot of people kind of go to the what?
Porn.
That's right.
That's
who is
okay.
She, a MILF? What's
that's
that mean?
Okay. You know, go ahead.
Like that.
Go ahead,
so.
Think about porn. It's fine with
yeah.
me.
Yeah. So what you do, I understand,
yes.
is you encourage folks to lead more fulfilling lives.
Yes.
Through your work as a life coach. You're certified.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been a childbirth educator for a long time.
I was a childbirth educator.
Yeah.
It's not a big part of my life now, but I still get the calls. And,
oh, yeah.
And I still, you know, and I have wonderful people to refer to as well.
Right.
So, yeah.
You have a master's in psychology.
Yes.
That's great.
Yes, I enjoyed getting that.
So you help a lot of folks personal issues. And you have
I'm pretty passionate about it.
Right. You have a private practice as a life coach.
Yes. Yes.
That's so cool. Yes. Well, they're kind of different, licensed psychologists and,
yes.
and coaches. It's a profession that you have a lot of really one-on-one. You get a little more tied to that individual because you're working hand-in-hand.
Yeah, it's different.
With their stuff.
It's different than life coaching. The easiest way to describe life coaching quickly is to say in the same way that you hire a physical coach, you know,
right.
a personal
exactly.
trainer
sure.
to help you get from point A to point B with your body. Life coaches, I did not invent life coaching, let's see where you are, where do you want to be, and how can we get you from point A to point B.
Right.
I didn't invent that, you know.
Right. Sure.
But that is really how I like to work with people. I like to work with people in a very practical, sort of hands-on, goal-oriented way. Now, with, you know, with all the psych theory and all the
right.
training and all of those things, I'm equipped to handle the emotional aspects that come up with that. Okay. Because obviously there's
yeah.
a reason you're not getting from point A to point B, and it's not because you can't tie your shoes in the morning. It's because
right.
you got some issues going on.
Exactly.
And that's okay. And I love that. And it's an honor to sort of to work with people through those things.
That is so cool.
But I think that there is, it's interesting that in our culture, there's still this issue around, oh, I don't want to get a therapist, or I don't need a life coach, or I don't need this. God, get some help, people. Just get some help.
You said it.
Exactly. Right? I mean, it is just, it will help everything else in your life.
Yeah.
You know?
It's so important to get an objective point of view from someone who is not connected with you. No family members, no spouses, no boyfriends, no girlfriends, you know, no kids having their little input. It's so nice to just be asking someone, sharing, vulnerable, and saying, did I screw up?
Right. Objective and compassionate. Yeah. Objective and compassionate. You know, and that's
exactly
what you get when you get the right coach or therapist.
Yeah,
you get somebody who's going to help you in a practical way, in a compassionate way, and not look at you like, oh, yes, you're flawed. Just give up now.
No, exactly. Because that's how the folks close to us do it.
That's right. You know, that's sort of the paradigm in our in our world is like, oh, you're flawed. You're screwed.
It's
you're
the
done.
Look.
You know, it's no,
you know.
It's just, yes, you're flawed. So let's. Not figure out how to make you perfect. Let's figure out how to to help you get what you want.
Exactly.
You know.
And then there's labels if people are on medication.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have, I'm on antidepressants. Well, probably 65% of the folks in the United States are on some form of antidepressant for, you know,
well,
their depression.
And 90% if you include the self-medicators.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. What do you think that wine is, baby? What do you think? You know, I mean, it's. Look, none of us want to deal with the tedium of life all the time and feel it as a raw nerve, you know?
Right,
sometimes.
Exactly.
And really what people need to understand about medication is that what do they talk about? Your brain chemistry is set around adolescence, the most difficult time in your life.
Yep.
And you either have the serotonin or you don't. You either have the dopamine or you don't.
Right.
And there are natural ways to help that, but there are also, thank God, medicinal ways to help
that's
that,
true FDA
know.
Approved
and that, if, yeah. Well, that might not mean
enable
anything, but
that's true,
but in combination with support
exactly,
these things can be great. I think when people are, you know, going willy-nilly with their meds, it's
I mean, there are some people who have, you know, serious disorders, the bipolar and the schizophrenia and the, you know, serious disorders, major panic disorders, things like that. You know, they absolutely need the meds first before the counseling. But I mean, you're right, hand in hand, because then you have to deal with life coping skills. You know,
absolutely.
How am I going to walk around with family, friends, get relationships, not feeling like I'm bipolar one or two, or, you know.
Right, and so owning that label and feeling that you're somehow, you know, broken.
No.
Look, man, we just got to get through this, you know, 90 years that we got to walk around and try to figure out love.
Exactly. You nailed it, girl. That's exactly
that's all
right.
We're here for anyway. I'm sorry. I don't mean to get all...
It's true.
I don't mean to get all hippie on you, but it's all about love.
it totally is. And, you know, love that which you are.
Yes. Right.
Got to go within, get it together, and then project it out to others and be okay. Of course, we all get angry and we all get hurt. We all get upset. That's normal. That's growth. That's survival.
So you got some questions? You got some questions from viewers?
Do you want to do that? I just wanted to ask you
a little
bit more questions. You were talking a little earlier this week to me about your style and the motto you use in your coaching.
Okay.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure, I can. Cool. There's, you know, there's a basic model that I wouldn't say is a whole lot different than, say, you know, Tony Powers or, you know, anybody who says, okay, let's really look at where you are.
Right.
And let's
right.
look at where you want to be, and let's look at what you're willing to do realistically to get there.
Because, exactly.
Because you want to set yourself up for success, even if it's tiny successes, because the way you build self-esteem is to keep promises to yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you, so if you set yourself up, I'm going to work 45 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Right.
No, you're not.
Right.
Don't lie to me. Like, don't lie to yourself.
Right.
You know, really. And I don't care if you do that. I'm not going to give you a medal for doing that for a week and then, you know, realizing you're completely overwhelmed.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
Look, life is complicated. There's balance we need to find. You need to go, okay, yes, if I was in a vacuum and I had nothing else to do and I was at the, you know, Biggest Loser camp, I could work out, you know, 5 days a week.
Exactly.
No, you got to take care of your kids. Mostly, you know, a lot with moms.
Sure.
You got to take care of your kids. You got to take care of your life. You got to take care of all these things, right?
Yep.
So let's talk about what's realistic in the meantime, you know? So I like to incorporate narrative therapy, you know, which is when you're looking at your story and you're changing your story.
Exactly. That's great.
The most exciting thing that ever happens to me is because I'll help people write vision statements about where they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
As part of our process, is when somebody will call me a year later and they'll go, oh my God, I just found my vision statement in my desk and everything has happened.
Oh, isn't that great?
And I get goosebumps. I get goosebumps even thinking about it. It's so rewarding and so exciting. And then you go, okay, you want to do another one? They're like, yes! You know, so
exactly.
What do we do next? Because you really are in charge of creating your reality.
Exactly.
Now, I can't tell you you're in charge of the how. Because you don't know how it's going to happen all the time. You know what I mean? You can't always control that. But you can definitely put out there what you want.
Yeah.
You know? So
absolutely.
So I'm working on a book, of course, because everybody's writing a book,
right?
I know. I hate to even say it. It's embarrassing. But I really am. I can honestly say it's half done, and I have my writing schedule set out, and I've hired an editor. So on my vision statement is that I want to finish my damn book.
There you go.
So my book is called MILF 101, of course.
That's great.
Make Your Life Fabulous. And the principles are me first, yoke the mind and the body, love as a verb, and family systems reboot. Okay? You know what I'm talking about.
Sure do.
Yes, yeah.
Sure do.
Because in this process of taking care of yourself, which includes integrating the mind and the body, which of course my favorite way to do that is yoga, but you can
good
do it
for you.
You can do it a lot of
that
different ways.
That is an amazing way to do it. It really is.
And the point yoga means actually to yoke the mind and the body, right? Because we're so disconnected from our bodies, which is such a huge part of our culture for women.
Yes.
Love is a verb.
Yep.
I'm sure you deal with this in relationships incessantly, right? Yes. Yep. It's not just a feeling.
Yes.
Do you love your husband? Yeah. Okay. When was the last time you loved your husband?
Right.
When was the last time you were loving to your husband?
Exactly.
Or your kids, right? And Family Systems Reboot is really about learning to be the observer and that Bowenian theory of
exactly.
Just, it's like I want to give people that little bite of
exactly.
the little mini bites of everything that we've gone through in you know graduate programs, right?
Yeah.
That really help change perspective.
Yes.
Because it's not just about, I always say, Eckhart Tolle.
Mm-hmm.
He's brilliant.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's amazing to be present. But the man was never up at 4 a.m. with a baby.
That's right.
Thank you.
You've got that right. It's called reality.
Right? So you got to take your perspective and then find a way to practice it.
Exactly.
Okay? And so so when you can practice becoming the observer in your family and depersonalizing and all of those things,
yes.
You know, all four of these principles work together.
Yes. And that's a great idea.
I want to give people something practical to use on a daily basis. Okay, I'm done. Sorry.
No, that's right. That's what people need. You're so right. People need to, and those books usually are the most helpful and they sell the most because people need to know simply, basically, how to apply a lot of the, you know, techniques that we've learned and wise things and cognitive behavioral and insight, you know, about who you are in relationship to your family, what you need to do and now is all you've got. Let's get on with it.
Right. And, you know, of course, like any one of these concepts, I could, you know, you could write a 350-page dissertation
right,
on.
Right.
But it's almost like, look, I just want to give you a primer because when I think about the million hours of therapy that I've crammed into my 40 years of life.
Right. Right.
Well, you know, right. In grad school, you're forced to go to therapy.
They do. They, you know, part of your 3,000 hours.
I always used to say I had to strap on the boots and walk through the shit. Because basically they make you. I mean, you got to write papers about your family system and your growing up and your pain. And oh my,
exactly.
You're pretty much like writing.
Right.
You're bearing your soul to your professors, you know, hoping that they have some compassion for you.
No, it's really true. So there's no judgment there,
no,
which hopefully there is not.
It's
any.
Really
right.
It's a fantastic process, really. But
yes.
But the when I think of what has really helped me? Because I really do feel like I can. Of course, I have my depressed days and I have my shitty days.
Everybody does,
stuff, right?
Exactly.
But I know fairly well how to get out of them and when I need to lean on somebody to get out of them and, you know, all of those things, right? I mean, I feel like I said, okay, what helped me get here? What really helped me get here? What concepts, what perceptions, and what practice?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. It's just like you can read the book you can hire the trainer and read the book, but you have to actually go to the gym.
Exactly.
And you have to eat and you have to figure out what diet works for you. The right. first one given to you isn't going to work for you necessarily, right?
So everything is individual.
Right? So yes. everything is, you know, and then you become a mother, and that changes. And
exactly.
then you become, you know, maybe divorced, and that changes.
Yeah,
and then
it
you,
sure does. Life
so
changes.
Life,
that's what we can depend on.
Right. And so your coping skills change sometimes,
exactly.
right?
It's so true. And you help people to manage through life changes and, you know, encouragement, positive reinforcement. You help them learn how to manage their life as a life coach. By the way, if you want to call in, we'd love to hear from you.
Oh,
as
call
always,
us, please.
323-203-0815 is the number here on LA Talk Radio. And you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle, as you always are at this time. My special guest today, you hear her if you listen to Talk LA Talk Radio. She's here every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. Sophie Venable, her show, MILF Talk, Make Your Life Fabulous. What a great title for a show.
Well, thanks. It used
so
to be
cool.
Ask Sophie, but nobody called me to ask
well,
me anything.
Well, there you go.
So
it's like MILF Talk.
To MILF Talk.
Yeah. It works, you know. She's a certified life coach, and we're talking about helping people out and kind of working through your issues. And, you know, it's funny, being a psychologist, mm-hmm. what we learn through our having to get our 3,000 hours before mm-hmm. our license is go to therapy, because what you have to do is you have to work out a lot of your own stuff before you help others, because
yeah.
you can't project it onto other people. It's
right.
not okay.
Right.
So you've got to learn to clean that up. And then, of course, there's that old Freudian thing of countertransference.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have your own stuff that you're projecting onto your poor clients because you haven't.
Right,
work
they're
out
sitting
your
there
own
talking.
Stuff.
They're talking about what she means
yeah.
by that is you're sitting there talking about your sister, right, and how your sister's being unfair
yeah.
to you. Okay, so she got beat up by her sister growing up, right, emotionally.
Right.
And she is sitting there listening
exactly.
to you, going, "You're full of shit. You're the problem."
Because, right.
And you're not. She's just working out. Your therapist is just working out her own stuff in her brain. That's why
right.
we have to
yeah.
write paper after paper and
right.
do, you know, and search our souls and
do
like,
the work
and become aware. It's you're not necessarily going to solve your issues.
No.
But you've got to be aware of them
you
so
do.
That you don't dump them on other people. And that's how it is in your marriage
exactly.
and with your kids. I have, sometimes
yeah.
I have to look at my kids and go, this is my issue. This is not.
So important. Do you find
you
yourself
know.
Checking yourself?
Oh, constantly.
All the time.
Constantly.
Like, you know, how did I respond when my mom said this to me? Or how did I wait a minute, maybe I could be a little gentler, or maybe mm-hmm. I could be a little more just shut up and listening to them. And how what are your ages, the ages of your
My
daughters?
My girls are 8 and 12.
Oh,
they're
how
awesome.
Cute.
I'm so in love with them. They're so
You're
awesome.
You're a lucky girl.
Oh, I'm so lucky.
Well,
you have
I,
no idea. My girls are just...
That is so neat.
I'm just so lucky. I'm so grateful. They're wonderful and smart and kind and... You
that's
know.
Wonderful. You're bless your heart. Well, that's because of you. I mean, you're
oh,
a nice mom.
It's all
and
me.
That's it, baby. You take it. You take
that's
it all.
I take all
baby.
The credit.
There
yeah,
you
all
go.
Me.
No,
yeah.
it's true though. You're a nice mom, and you studied psychology, and you're a certified life coach. So you sort of learn
oh,
how to
a bunch
approach.
Of crazy birds in psychology. You know that.
Well, you got that right, girl. There's a bunch.
They're
of
all nuts.
No, I wouldn't say that. I'm not.
Oh, I'm teasing.
I'm teasing.
No, Michelle's very cool.
Yes, sort of. Well, look, I have a 19-year-old son. Make your own
oh,
conclusion.
Oh, there you go. Wow.
Make your own conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about crazy birds. Just
God
allow.
God didn't give me boys.
My mantra now is allow.
Allow. Yes, the art of allowing.
The art of, you find out, you put it out there, you do your job, you mm-hmm. finish your college,
mm-hmm.
you learn the mistakes you're making.
Yeah.
And that's, you know,
and that's okay.
I'll be
you
there
know,
for
bumps. We're always trying to protect our kids from making
we
bad decisions
so are.
Or having any kind of discomfort. And the truth is, they need to have some discomfort. That's reality.
Right.
You know, and it's okay.
That's right. It's true.
It's part of your job as a parent to let them feel the discomfort
yeah.
and then explain to them how they can cope with it. Not to just keep them from feeling anything.
Yes. Yes. It's true.
You know.
It's so true.
Then they're completely ill-equipped.
Completely. And they have no sense of self or their own identity or thoughts or
yeah. let them
who they
their
are
own
in the world.
It's great.
There you go, because the world is going to teach them.
That's right. That's
yeah.
right. That's part of their character.
It's right. If you listeners out there would like to email us, me and Sophie Venable, she's the host of her own show on Thursday morning here on LA Talk Radio, 10 a.m. If you'd like to let us know what's going on in your life, or if you have a question about relationships or anything, having to do with sort of helping you. I mean, not anything, but any kind of psychological help you may want.
I'm really bad at geography. Don't ask me about geography. I'm telling you, don't ask me where India is. I can't tell you. It's really...
You're so funny.
I sound so undereducated when I talk about where anything is.
Let's not talk about
don't ask me about
statistics and math either.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not God. Good at that. I had to get through that.
But you can email us here at docmichelle with two L's at AOL.com. And we have some emails. How about we answer some questions for some listeners?
I love it.
Let's do it, Sophia.
Okay.
I have a problem. This comes from Naomi, it looks like.
Hi, Naomi.
Here we go. Hi, Naomi.
Pretty name.
That is a pretty name. Let's see. Even when we're communicating well in other areas, my boyfriend and I have a problem when it comes to talking about sex. I often feel we have very different expectations in this area. Some of the things he wants to do, which involve, let's go for it, girl, here
we go.
I should have proofread this. It's called a cold read,
that's okay.
Right? Some of the things he wants to do, which involve tying me up or being dominating, kind of freak me out. He also likes to have sex sometimes in public places. Where we won't be seen, but could get caught.
He likes the thrill.
Yes.
But that's really common.
It is.
It's really
actually.
Common. And the tying up is really common, too.
Yeah. We get along on just about everything except sex. I wish he wouldn't push some of his stuff on me. Thanks. Can you help me, Naomi?
Oh, I have so much to say about this.
Okay. What would you say to Naomi?
Well, what I would say to Naomi is that, you know, these love relationships that we choose, they are elective, and you are looking for a good fit. And I personally believe that your sexual compatibility is a huge component, because this is such a part of the glue that's going to keep you together throughout time. Okay.
Right. Right.
One thing that she could do if she wanted to own her part in this is that she could open her mind a little bit, not in that she needs to like these things, but in that she needs to understand that there's nothing wrong with him.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with him for this. Now, particularly the domination thing, it's not my thing. I just happen to know some stuff about it.
Really?
Yeah. Do
you want to tell us more, Sophie?
No. I'm actually pretty clear that it's not my thing.
It doesn't, you kind of know that.
I just don't have those hookups or whatever it is. You know, your hypothalamus is your pain and pleasure center.
That's right.
Okay? So it's actually not much of a reach. You know, when you've got one center of your brain that is both pain and pleasure, it's not that much of a reach to think that one might stimulate the other. I mean, this is a huge subculture. What are they? Dom sub?
Dom right, sub, right? Exactly.
This is a huge subculture. So I would like to normalize it to a certain degree for you. Okay. And in that sense, that might be able to help you sort of sit back and go, okay, this is sort of his kink and he likes it. And if you don't get off on the idea of wanting to get, or, you know, potentially being caught, things like that, that again, that's also not my thing. I can completely relate to this.
Right.
Girl.
Sure.
You might just not be a match sexually, because I have to say, this guy wants to play. He wants to play
with
you.
Sure, he does.
He wants to experiment. He wants to. He needs somebody who's going to really enjoy this part of his sexuality, and then he can really enjoy, you know, celebrate your sexuality.
Exactly.
And that's all good. Just might not be a fit in this area, and then you have to really think about where this relationship's going to go. I mean, I'm just trying. I hate to say this because it sounds like, oh, what? She doesn't want to be tied up, so she can't be with the guy.
Right.
Kinda.
Right.
Kinda. If that's depending on the importance of sex in your relationship.
Exactly.
Because if you say, oh, what he wa-, I'm not saying you should want this. If my boyfriend wanted to do this all the time, I'd be like, man, this is a bummer. I'm not into this. I can't do this for you.
Right.
You
and know? Hopefully he would understand and be a little pull back, and maybe in some way they can work out some kind of a compromise.
Sure. And that's where you have to say,
I'm not saying
this is abnormal.
Right.
Like, if you can come to him and say, look, I'm not saying this is abnormal. I get this is normal for you and it's cool, but I'm not into it. So how important is it to you?
Right.
And that's what you get. That's the gap, right? That's
exactly. They need to talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a problem when it comes to talking about sex. Just keep it real and have, you know, a come to Jesus with him about sex.
Right.
Here's the deal. I'm not comfortable with this. This is turning me off rather than turning me on. And this you know, this is a deal breaker.
It is.
You know, what are the biggies in relationships? I don't know how serious you guys have.
I'm looking to see if there's nothing here about that.
But I mean, absolutely, it's a deal breaker. I mean, sex is a biggie. And if you plan on spending the rest of your life with this guy, mm-hmm. you're going to end up resenting the heck out of him because you're passive and you're quiet and he wants to tie you up again or do it in a public restroom and, you know, the mall or something. You're like, I don't want to do this.
And
this
clearly
okay.
what I would want her to hear is that we're not saying this is a deal breaker because he's wrong. You're wrong.
Correct.
You have different sexual tastes. And I think one of the reasons that people have trouble talking about things is because they have they've made something a sort of abnormal or like there's something wrong with you that you want to do this. And so that ends the conversation.
Exactly. I think a lot of women feel this way.
Yeah.
I think women are a little more passive verbally when it comes to sex because they want to please their guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think more women just do.
Mm-hmm.
And they allow it. They enjoy it. Sounds like she's normal in terms of her sexual desire. And you're right, Sophia. There's nothing wrong with somebody who's into that kind of sex. But, I mean, you just have to work it out.
If there's something wrong with them, there's a lot of them out there who are defective.
I'm saying this is a really common part of
human sexuality.
Now, if he were, you know, into beating her and, you know, physical violence,
I'd say,
leave, go away. That's not okay.
Right, run.
Yeah, go the other way.
Run. But it sounds like, I mean, if we're just talking playful, sort of tying up kind of thing. You know,
sit down, Naomi, talk with him and just tell him exactly how you feel about it. And like you said, is this really that important to you? And if it is, maybe we need to talk about parting ways because I don't want to resent you for the rest of my life.
No. And you both ultimately want a satisfying sexual relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Naomi, you can have a satisfying sexual relationship without being tied up and having sex in public places. I'm here to testify to that.
Exactly. You got that right, girl. No, exactly.
And you know what? He can have a really satisfying sexual relationship doing what he's doing, too. There's really nothing wrong with either one of it. But I do believe that sexual compatibility is crucial.
It is. So. It is. It is, in my opinion, a deal breaker when it comes to relationships.
Yep.
Usually.
Mm-hmm.
Such an important aspect.
Why be in a relationship otherwise?
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
You know, that's the whole thing is you want pleasurable, enjoyable, agreeable sex. I mean, sometimes men are in the mood to do something and we're not and vice versa.
Sure.
But it doesn't mean that, you know, I mean, we all need to give and take. But if something's totally a turnoff for you, and it's so important to him, it's not going to work. So.
No, and maybe thinking about it as normal, maybe it will become a turn-on for you.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
Please call us and let us know, because
I'm
dying
to hear
to
it. That's right. Follow up with an email after you have the talk. Exactly. By the way, if you just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, Sophie Venable, and she is the host of a MILF Talk, Make Your Life Fabulous, here every Thursday at 10 o'clock in the morning. She has a great show. Your co-host is awesome, too.
Oh, Erin. Yeah, she's awesome. She's like my part-time co-host. Emma.
She's
so
great.
Yeah, she's really fun.
I really like her. We're going to move on here. Another email you wrote at docmichelle@aol.com. Okay. Dear Doc, I started to have an affair about 6 months ago. Now I've accidentally fallen in love with this person, and he says he loves me, too.
Mm.
But the problem is, the person I'm having the affair with is his brother.
Also married. Oh, my God.
My brother-in-law.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, sorry.
Here we go.
This is really heavy.
This is wrong. My husband is a great person, and I don't want to hurt him, but I don't love him anymore, and he knows it.
Then it's time to go.
So how do I tell him how much of a terrible person I am? Oh, now she's trying to get pity. I'm sorry. I can't stay with him anymore.
No, you can't.
I think I need to follow my heart.
Yeah.
But I just don't know.
And good luck with that, because most relationships that start as affairs don't really last. So
that's right. I just don't know how to do it. And this is from Angie.
Okay, Angie.
So, you know, it seems
Angie, you have blown it. You need to get out of there. This is not cool.
Yeah, exactly.
This is not cool. I don't mean to sound pro-divorce, but, like, you need to... This is not cool. If you're not in love with him, don't pretend to be in love with him.
No, exactly. But she says that he knows it, apparently. Well, I don't know all the details of this, but you know what?
The brother? Are you kidding me? The brother?
Thank you.
Talk about the sibling issues.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You don't accidentally fall in love with someone. Oops!
Whoops. What'd you do? Run into the hallway naked and it slipped in? I don't buy it.
Exactly. So
you knew when you were taking off your clothes that he was his brother. I'm not buying this.
Grow up. And you know what? I think that Angie needs to get her head on straight about a little more self-esteem, that you don't have to run to the person closest to have a sexual relationship with. And figure out why. Is there a passive-aggressive thing going on? I accidentally fell in love with his brother, my husband's brother. That's
right. Okay, so here's okay.
Take responsibility.
All right. I'm gonna look at that. I'm gonna try to have some compassion for this. Okay, I'm just gonna try.
Yeah.
All right. Give me a minute.
Right. Let me compose myself.
Let me compose myself and work on this one. Okay. Look, because really, now that I've said that. Here's somebody who's in a relationship. She's not in love. Okay. Now, people do feel trapped by marriage. They do. And you know, everybody does. Not just men, not just women. Everybody feels trapped by marriage, and they feel like they're failing, and they're breaking their vows, and they break their. Okay.
Right.
So then they say, well, what I really need is to be wanted.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to fulfill this need to be wanted.
Right.
Because his brother will not stop hitting on me, and he's getting under my skin, and it's really making me hot. Okay. Let's take the brother issue out of it, because that's between those two, okay? So here she is. She's satisfying the sexual need over here to feel wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, she's bonded,
right.
And she has fallen in love. She
exactly.
thought she could just fuck him. No, not going to happen.
Right.
Okay, he's making you feel wanted, so now you're falling in love, or whatever you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
You like how you feel with him, and you certainly don't have to deal with day-to-day life with him,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're dealing with that over here with your husband, and it's so unsexy.
It really
all right?
is.
Now, if you were saying, I want to stay married,
right.
I don't know how to do this,
right.
I would say, look, you got some repair to do.
Exactly.
But you're saying you're not in love with your husband anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so we're just going to take that on face value. Let's just be responsible about this and be straight with your husband.
Exactly.
And say, I need, because you cannot play both sides of this any longer. You have to have the courage to leave the illusion of the safety of your marriage.
That's right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Your marriage, and I honestly do get why people do this every day.
Yeah.
Okay. People do this every day. They're stuck in their marriage, or they feel stuck in their marriage, or they're too afraid to leave. Well, this is on you. You've made your bed, so to speak, and you need to be responsible,
right.
and you need to
exactly.
be straight with your husband.
Right.
And this is going to be a grenade. In
yes.
your world.
Yes.
Because what's going to happen is he's going to have this double betrayal with not just his friend, but his brother.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
this is so huge for him.
It's really huge. And I feel bad for the guy. I mean, I don't know what kind of man he is, but that certainly does not justify having an affair on him without telling him, number one, and especially with his brother. That's
terrible.
Well,
now let me ask you this, Michelle.
Yeah.
If she says, you know what? I am going to do the right thing and get out of this marriage.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, do you think she needs to tell him she's been having sex with his brother?
Of course.
Really? No, I mean, really.
No.
What would happen if she didn't? What if she just said, I need to leave this relationship, and she did the right thing and she got out?
Well, here's the problem with being deceptive, is usually what happens years later is somehow, some way, he may find out about
it. Sure, of course.
He and his brother could get into a fight.
Yeah.
And so, you know, my first thought is, maybe
but doesn't it only just relieve her guilt?
To tell him?
Could she?
No,
deliver the news a little at a time?
No, I think sitting down and saying, I've been unhappy in our relationship for whatever reason, for X amount of time, and I know we're having problems, and I don't, whatever her thing is whatever she wants to do. And and I think possibly bringing that up as well at the end of her, she obviously doesn't love him. I wouldn't suggest going to therapy if she's done. Obviously, she's having an affair with another guy.
Well, I appreciate that you're saying that, because I do think that therapy just is this way to spend money confirming that you're
exactly.
done.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. So I would have her tell the truth. And it's going to hurt the brother's relationship. I mean, she shouldn't protect the brother. I mean, in my opinion, he has to work out his own issues with his
right.
brother.
Right.
So, you know, this is what I've been doing. I'm a bad person. Right. She says I'm a bad person. Whatever. Yeah. I mean, it's not okay to do that. But I mean, I'm really trying to be objective. But you don't accidentally fall in love with someone.
No, you don't. And you don't accidentally have an affair.
And a lot of women who have the low self-esteem, you know, find their self by having sex with someone who is attracted to them or who gives them what they need sexually.
It's about being wanted.
Exactly.
It's about being wanted. And we go through our marriage and we feel unwanted. And,
we do.
You know, and you and whether that's your fault or their fault or the marriage's fault or whatever that comes from, it might be fixable. But I got to say, once an affair happens, it's almost unfixable.
I know.
It's very, very sad. And I'm, you know, it's not. For some people can get through that.
Yeah,
some people
exactly.
can get through an affair. But this is, I don't know that anybody can get through an affair with a sibling.
Exactly. So, yes.
With a spouse's sibling.
You and I are on the same page. Angie, tell your husband what's going on. Tell him the truth first, that you're not in love with him and you want a divorce. If you're not in love with him, then get out of the relationship and tell him that you have had an affair and tell the truth. Because it's going to come back and bite you in the rear at the very end and then everything's going to fall apart. You need to also talk with the guy that you've been having an affair with, whether you stay with him, whether you stay with him. This may not even last if you plan on running away with him, whatever. You better tell him that you're going to tell your husband because it's not okay anymore.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, Angie, I hope that we helped you in some way. I mean,
good luck.
You know,
boy, what
look, I can't imagine doing that, and we feel sad that you have accidentally fallen in love with him and that you feel it's okay to do this. Girl, get some personal therapy because you got to figure out why you did this. It's, to me, passive aggressive. I'm sorry.
So. Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's absolutely. And, you know, you're going to have to walk through an awful lot of, how do I say this? You're going to have to reconcile in your own heart and mind.
Yeah.
That you have truly hurt somebody.
Yes.
I don't care how much you think he deserved it or how much he neglected you. You must own the fact that you chose a really cowardly, painful route to deal with your pain. And now you've got to, you know, tail between the legs. You've got to really own up to it.
Yeah.
You know.
And Angie, you also have to look at the character of the guy who you're having an affair with.
Oh my God.
How dare he have sex with his brother's wife? Okay.
Hey, this has been happening. This is in Shakespearean time, right? This is like Shakespeare right here.
Exactly. You're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today.
I hope you deleted that email.
Sophia Venable. She's the host of Thursday's MILF Talk. Make your life fabulous here every Thursday at 10 o'clock in the morning on LA Talk Radio. If you have a question or comment, please give us a call, 323-203-0815. Don't be chicken. Put your voice on the air. We'd love to hear from you. We have emails as well that are coming in at docmichelle@aol.com.
Oh, let's do another one.
All righty. This is Justin. And I did proofread this one, and I hope I get through it without crying. It's a heavy one.
Oh.
I won't cry, I promise.
All right.
Dear Doc, I'm 16. My grandpa recently died 5 days before my birthday. Mm. We were really close, and I really miss him. I've been very upset. The day before my birthday, my mom was I did proofread it. The day before my birthday, my mom was taking me to meet some friends. My 13-year-old brother was also in the car being dropped off at a friend's house. When we were getting into the car, my brother jumped into the front seat and I said, "I call shotgun." I slowly got in the back seat and was quiet. My brother said, "You're so quiet. Are you crying because I called front seat?" I burst into tears and couldn't stop crying. My mom kept asking what was wrong. My brother started laughing. But all I could say was, "I don't know. I've been so stressed, so lonely, and so angry about my grandpa passing. But it doesn't seem like anyone else feels this way and ever notices my grief. I need to know if it's normal to burst out crying uncontrollably when you don't have a specific reason."
Aww.
Oh, Justin, honey, it is normal, especially after your grandpa passed away and you loved him and you were very close to him. Recently, 5 days before
your birthday. So this was just a few. Aww. And so this was the day before his birthday, I think, that he said this was happening with his brother. So he felt really dismissed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult. Other people handle their grief in so many different ways.
Yes.
You know, that old an acronym of DABDA, right? The D-A-B-D-A. It's the denial and then the anger and then the bargaining and then the depression and then the acceptance that people have, supposedly. Yeah. The stages do not necessarily always come successfully. Mm-hmm. They do come in different orders. So you're going to be depressed. You're going to start crying. You're going to, I don't know if you've experienced any previous losses in your life, Justin.
Well, and for a 16-year-old boy, tears are so socially unacceptable.
God, yes.
You know, that... And like Michelle said, everyone deals with everyone deals with death in their own way. And it's almost what I try to tell people, because they say, I don't know what to say to this person. Somebody died. You need to say, there's really no wrong thing to say.
There really is no.
There's really, if you are able in your grief to let your mom know the tears were about grandpa, however you can say it. Just to let her in, to let her understand what you're going through. Your mom might be dealing with your grandfather's death seemingly casually, because she may have been aware he was going to die.
Right.
Maybe he was sick. Maybe, you know, and we do get to an age where we understand that we're going to outlive our elders, that that is actually the natural path. But at 16 years old, you don't have, hopefully, a lot of experience with death.
Right.
And this is probably, it sounds like, the first person that he's really cared about.
Exactly.
That's died. And it's so difficult.
Exactly. And Justin, your mom may be modeling for you.
Mm-hmm. Strength.
Strength. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Not falling apart.
Right.
When I was 14, I had a best friend who lived a couple of houses down the street. We'd go to school together. We would play every night, whatever 14-year-olds do.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, hang out. Listen to music, get
text.
Weird.
No,
there you go.
Text.
Not text. No, not when I was 14.
I know.
I wish.
Me either.
But anyway, that best friend was hit broadside and immediately died in a car accident. I was 14. He turned 15 and he started middle school. He was supposed to be, I was supposed to be in the car with him.
Oh, God.
They were going to drop. He started high school. They were going to drop me off at middle school and then take him to high school. I, for some reason, didn't go in the car that day because something happened. I don't know what it was. I don't really recall. But everybody was seriously injured. There was two serious brain injuries, and my best friend died. Now, the way my family reacted to it was shove it down. Shove it down. And just like Justin, just like you, honey, I would burst out in tears in class or... But I shoved it down a lot, and I couldn't talk about it. It was like my parents, bless their heart, they tried, but their modeling was be strong,
it'll be okay.
Have your faith. Have your faith, which is great. Faith is good.
Faith is great.
You know, he's in a good place now.
Yes.
Well, yeah, but he was my best friend, and I saw him every day for how many years growing up, and all of a sudden, now he's gone.
Yeah.
I couldn't wrap my 14-year-old brain around it, and it's the same for a 16-year-old brain, especially when you lose somebody. So, I would say talk to somebody, Justin, about your grief. Tell your mom privately why you cry, like you said, Sophia.
Yeah.
That was lovely. And, you know, maybe mom can clue in little brother, too, about your brother's hurting, too. And it's normal to feel sad about grandpa.
And maybe his brother wasn't as close to grandpa.
Right.
You know, grandparents are such a funny relationship. Some of us have this really, you know, endearing relationship.
Exactly.
And, you know, and sometimes people touch you in a different way.
Yep.
And, I had a friend pass, an older friend pass last year that I was that I just I saw him every week and he touched my life in a beautiful way.
Right.
And it I was suddenly bursting into tears and kind of went into a, kind of a surprising depression. This was not a family member. This was, you know, and so what? And this is a little bit. I don't mean to sound too textbooky with a 16-year-old, but what I would say about this is what I would want. What I would hope for you is that you don't get caught up in the shame of being tearful because you're a boy and you're crying, because shame is such a trap. And but what I can tell you is that if you allow yourself to be sad, you will get to the other side of it.
Yep.
Sadness is something that you can walk through, but you have to allow yourself to be sad. This was somebody that was precious to you.
Sure.
And you don't get to see them.
Right.
And that.
It's true. And in some way, as you grow older, if you're able to verbalize your feelings and be accepted for how you feel and not feel shameful, if you feel like you're going to burst into tears, if you're at school or with friends or something, go out of the environment and go to the restroom if you're at school, or, you know, do something to where you can, if if you can,
talk to a female friend. They're good with tears.
Exactly. Girls are great. And
they're great with tears.
The chicks will love it if you're more vulnerable, too. Girls love vulnerable guys.
Yeah.
I think it's really changing, you know, for younger people, too. They'll say, oh, and they'll comfort you. And you sound like a wonderful guy, Justin. And I thank you so much for writing us. And please keep in touch. Let us know how you're doing, honey. You might ask your mom if you could go talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
and you can talk to your grandpa. Write him a letter.
There you go.
You know, put a little box together full of little memories. Write down little memories that you love and put them in a nice little box.
Yeah.
You know, and just do something that's special for you.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And allow all those feelings to come out. You're going to probably feel anger and frustration as well.
Yeah,
so be ready for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Allow it. It happens. I was really angry for a long time after my friend passed. I was angry at my family for not allowing me to express it too. Don't be angry at your family. It's their way of coping. Understand that they have their own ways of dealing with loss.
Mm-hmm. That is something we have not figured out in our culture.
No,
we have not figured out how to deal with loss.
Yep.
In our culture. Many cultures have such, you know, extensive,
yeah.
I want to say mourning rituals.
Exactly.
And we have all these rituals. We have burial rituals and we have, you know, things like that. But we don't have a lot of mourning rituals, you know, where we're really just allowed to feel that loss.
Yes.
You know, it's just sort of like, suck it up. You know,
exactly.
How many days do you get off work to get over it? Three?
Exactly.
Something like that?
That's right.
No,
yeah. That's right. Okay. Have to go back to work.
Right, you're good.
Get over it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, honey, for writing us here at DocMichelle@AOL.com on LA Talk Radio. And my special guest today, Sophia Venable.
Oh, this is so much fun.
This is cool. We're kind of getting close to the end here,
aren't
we?
I know. Yeah.
It's a MILF Talk, Make Your Life Fabulous is what that acronym is for, every Thursday at 10 o'clock in the morning. And she'll give you a lot of good advice. And also, she's a certified life coach, helping you with issues.
You can email me questions at asksophieadvice@gmail.com.
Great.
You can find my website at makeyourlifefabulous.com.
Right. Just check on the, we have a live caller, but unfortunately, it's a little too late right now.
Aww.
So I'm going to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Why don't you email me at docmichelle@AOL.com if you have a question? Because Sophia and I would love to help you out. But we can do that via email.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
We could do that. So, you also, if you log on to Sophia's website on the cover page here on her air page on LA Talk Radio, you also have a really cool product that you've been working on.
Oh,
and
yes.
I just want to share that briefly
Thank
with
you.
People.
You're so sweet.
Yes.
If you click on that little thing that says Oshibori now on Kickstarter, it'll take you to my Kickstarter page. You can watch me sing and dance and, you know, for
you
myself.
Are so funny.
And
I
hire dancing boys, people. And you can make a pledge. It goes through Amazon payments and you don't get charged unless I make my goal. And I've only got like 9 days left. It's looking a little slim. But hey, check out Oshibori, or you can like Oshibori on Facebook and I'll keep you posted on what's going on. Thank you.
It's a great deal. I mean, it's a cool product.
I'm working
it really
on it.
Is. I'm
trying.
Proud of you.
I'm trying.
You are a wonderful entrepreneur, my dear. You done good. You done good. All right. Sophia Venable, thanks again, sweetheart. Such a nice
Thank you for
show.
Having me. This was a blast.
Fun stuff. Hopefully we helped you out there too, listeners. Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, guys. Hope you enjoyed being on the couch. You can stay on it if you'd like, because the Master David is on next to help you out with lots of different things, as always. Stay tuned for CBS News coming up. Catch you up on what's going on in the world. And as I always say, do take care of yourself first, because then you'll be great for other people. It's not narcissistic, you know. You can contact me at docmichelle@AOL.com. Have a great day. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.